Blog Talk Radio.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
Welcome to Now Time Radio. This is Peace Talks with your host, Audrey Scott Williams. We have a very exciting show today. This is someone that we're going to be talking with, Victoria Hanson, who I identify so much with her story. And I identify with her story because I have a similar kind of experience. And so I'm looking forward to us having this conversation today. Before I begin the interview, I want to take a moment and recognize that we are coming up on what our country celebrates as Columbus Day soon, next week. And I wanted to just give another perspective on that to recommend and invite our listening audience to have a look at Columbus Day in terms of what it means to millions of people in the Americas who were part of the First Nations in North America, South America, and the Caribbean. And we are really working to have this day changed from Columbus Day to Indigenous Day. And in fact, some groups such as those outside of Vancouver in Canada have already honored this celebration in the sense of truth and reconciliation. And we do this in the spirit of healing so that we can move forward in the all the wisdom and all of the insight that's coming to us all to take us to a more evolved state. And we can only evolve as far as we've healed. So in recognition of some of the changes that we need to make in terms of not necessarily holding as a hero someone that brought in an era of such travesty for Indigenous people. So we want to lift up the Indigenous spirit of things in the sense that all of us are one, all of us are related. And so I wanted to just plant that seed, do the homework, go out and research Columbus Day, Columbus and the Indigenous people, and then go deeper with your research and find out all the gifts and offerings the Indigenous people have brought forward to living in balance and living in harmony, and how, in fact, we now have an opportunity in revisiting that to embrace that in our own lives. The earth is full of all the mystery and wisdom that has sustained life for time eternal, and in fact, she can do the same as long as we remember that we are in relationship with Mother Earth and we have a responsibility to be good stewards of that which has been bestowed upon us. And so with that said, I'd like to introduce Victoria Hanson. Vicki, thank you so much for agreeing to be on our show today so that we can talk about this great book. I've just enjoyed it from beginning to end, The Seer and the Sayer, Revelations of the New Earth. Welcome to Now Time Radio and Peace Talks today, Vicki. Thank you again for being on the show. And let's just get right into it because I'm too excited not to. So I know I sent you a couple of questions to think about, but I'm going to throw a new one at you, okay?
Sure.
Because
sure.
After reading more with the book, I had to ask you this question. What was your path into the book? And what I'm really asking is what was your pathway into the experiences that ultimately led to the book being published, The Seer and the Sayer?
Audrey, I am already just feeling like we are in an extraordinary field of energy. I just have to say before I even answer your question that I can't get over the perfection of what you were just saying about changing the perception of Columbus Day to Indigenous Day and into this idea of reconciliation and healing around what happened with the Indigenous people, because that's actually so much a part of my perception and the background actually that led me into this story as well. I have to say the very probably most single important thing that led me into my story, which is actually a documentation of my, is a true story of my own spiritual adventure. And the single most important thing that opened me up into these incredible phenomena, which are phenomena, by the way, maybe not by the way, maybe the point is, it opened me to phenomena that are the sort that an Indigenous person experiences pretty constantly, that the earth is indeed a living conscious being, that there is an intelligence through nature and all of creation that is wanting to collaborate with us and reach out to us to help us evolve on this planet. And that's the consciousness that so many Indigenous cultures already hold. And my entry into this phenomena of these experiences was surrendering myself in an act of service. I actually did a ceremony out of my concern for our ecological crisis, for all the polarized divisiveness and violence that's happening on the planet, for the concern for humanity's future. I did a ceremony surrendering myself and offering myself as a mouthpiece for Mother Earth and for you know, what I see as my divinity, Divine Mother. That's the aspect of the divine that I feel most comfortable with. So I surrendered myself as a mouthpiece to Mother Earth and in service. And that's when, immediately at that point, phenomena started happening. Synchronicities, miracles, you know, just extraordinary experiences that demonstrated this very interconnectedness and oneness that that the Indigenous people know, that connects humans and nature in a co-creative collaboration. So, you know, scientists talk about it, that as the quantum unified field theory, and it's not a theory. The Indigenous have known about this, and it is real. And that's really what I opened up to. And I love your question. The way I opened up to it was to surrender into service. And the way I perceived that was to surrender into my highest, most magnificent self in service to the highest, most magnificent purpose I came here to contribute. And I saw that as being a mouthpiece for Mother Earth.
That is so profound. And as I was listening to you, you brought up a section in your book, actually before we even got into the book, when you wrote about your confession in terms of how you were reluctant to even write the book at first. And I'm going to summarize this in my own words, in fear of being called crazy or weird. And, you know, we have this saying in our group, particularly those of us that have been studying Maltine prophecies for a while now, is that our old weird is now becoming the new normal. And I remember, Vicki, once I was with an elder, and the elder actually said to him, I don't know, I had a very life-changing moment, as you can imagine, and decided to embrace this path. And my greatest concern was being weird. And I said to him, I don't know if I can do this. This stuff makes me crazy. And he looks at me, you know, very indignantly, and he says, my dear, it takes a mad, mad woman to do this work. You know? And so I was reading, you know, that part that you wrote there, about your concern about, you know, just what labels might get attached. It certainly brought that to mind. But then you said, you put in a quote from Steve Jobs in your intro. And I just want to read that for a moment and then get your response. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your own heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. What made you put that in your book? What were you, how was that a liberating moment for you?
You know, every time I hear that quote, I get all teary, and you just read it, and now I'm all teary again. It's just, you know, I think humanity really struggles with this fear of being ridiculed, being invalidated, you know, being shut up. And as women, in particular, I think we struggle entering and standing in our truth and holding our own voices. And for me, I'm a licensed psychotherapist. I'm a clinical social worker. I'm supposed to help people retain some sense of so-called normality, you know, that sort of thing, and effectiveness and all that. And I was experiencing things in my story that are not thought of as normal. I was experiencing incredible messages coming through nature, through the water, through animals as songs. They're teaching songs about living in this new earth. I am not a singer or a songwriter, so for me this was a profoundly expansive phenomena. And I really was concerned about, well, could they even take my license away from me and say, honey, you're delusional and psychotic. You're supposed to be helping people come out of that, you know. But you know, and what I realized is this is the struggle we're living in humanity. There is a sort of psychosis around material literalism that we're stuck in.
Yes.
And if we stay stuck in that, I think our earth is doomed. And the real magic is this experience of oneness and this experience of interconnectedness and what comes through this living consciousness of creation that we participate in that shows us that we're much more than who we thought ourselves to be. And interestingly, by the very end of the story, you know, my story, I think, really the sub-story in my story sort of is a documentation of my own transformation out of this anxiety and fear that I'm going to be seen as crazy, you know. And by the end of the story, I come to terms with this in a way that I think speaks to that very courage you're addressing, that, you know, that ultimately is our human challenge is to own our own truth and to speak our own truth through this courage. And so at the end of the story, I stumble onto this quote from another book that ends up really clinching it for me. It says, "Do not allow those of limited vision to cheapen the miracle that you are living." And so my writing my story actually became my personal act of transforming out of that fear.
And so your inspiration then, if I'm understanding correctly, your inspiration came from, and I'm saying this for a purpose because I want to make sure this is a part of the show. Your inspiration came from your listening to your higher self, and in that space you knew that you were to bring forward a body of work or a documentation of your process, and the inspiration came from your higher self connecting with the greatest purpose of who you are and what you've come here to do. And that really voided out the self-limiting thought of a society that doesn't want to embrace sometimes, or I would say very often, embrace this other aspect of who we are that is so much bigger than sort of the Western paradigm identification of personhood that often is related to the material and to power and all those other structures. The inspiration for your book, and which was a gift to us that now can inspire many more, came from you really making that connection and really getting it in terms of who you are. And as I listen to you, I can't help but think about the grandmothers that showed up, that Grandmother Flora DeMaio and Grandmother Donna. So perhaps you could talk about how, as you embrace that part, as you recognize, you know, your path and began your journey, how the spiritual law of reciprocity showed up, and then here come the teachers.
Oh, and the grandmothers that, you know, Flora DeMaio is one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers. She's the one who sort of kept after me to introduce me to Grandmother Donna, who was connected with the Serpent Mound in Ohio. And the Serpent Mound is an ancient sacred site in south central Ohio that is being understood through research to be at least as important, if not more so, than the Stonehenge. And Grandmother Flora DeMaio was brought there by Grandmother Donna to do ceremony, and she knew that I through my collaboration and work with Grandmother Flora DeMaio, Grandmother Flora DeMaio knew that I needed to be at the Serpent Mound. I needed to meet Grandmother Donna. So she connected the two of us and kind of kept after me until I did. But the interesting thing was, it wasn't until I did my ceremony of surrender into that service through my, you know, highest self and highest purpose that Grandmother Flora DeMaio contacted me again and said, "Have you contacted Grandmother Donna yet?" And I was like, "No, I lost her phone number." That's when it all actually, it's like the kaleidoscope pieces falling into place and things actually shifting and taking off. It happened after, you know, I did that ceremony. And to connect with Grandmother Donna in this story, her lineage is Mohawk. And she's so knowledgeable about so many traditions. She had also been a professor at Kent State University. And so to have her say, "You must come to the Serpent Mound. You must meet the spirit of the serpent here, this ancient presence." And, you know, so I came there, and the moment we connected in person, we had been in conversation for about a month by phone and just really recognized our kindred natures and our kindred purposes. And so the moment I connected with her in purpose, it was like the switch got thrown on, and we were shown through incredible synchronicities that I document in the story. The story is a total, I scribed and documented everything as it happened, so when you read the story, you really get, I write it as if you're right there with me, and it's all happening right now, and you're inside me experiencing it, you know. So yeah. All the revelations that happen that lead us from one thing to the next, you know, begin to unfold in this extraordinary context of just following the trail of synchronicity and guidance through that, you know, that appears. And that's part of how we experience this unified field of consciousness that the indigenous speak about. It, you know, messages come through nature, through insects, through the cloud language, through the waters, through earth, through stars, through all of nature. It's like we get to see and experience how all of creation is aware and participating with us and actually inviting us to step up to the plate. We're not alone in dealing with this planetary crisis we have. There is so much help once we shift into this awareness that we are interconnected with all of life. We are multidimensional beings connected with all of creation.
So, Vicki, what is the new Earth?
You know, it's the new Earth is our highest, most passionate vision of the future we long for, a place where the power of love prevails over the love of power, where all of our gifts are received to contribute to co-creating this greater good world that we all long for. All of our puzzle pieces are needed, they're recognized, they're welcomed. We all get to contribute to something that's a greater good for all. And our technologies are in service of a future that serves the next seven generations instead of destroying our home. It's a new earth where, in the book actually, Grandmother Donna and I do a ceremony at the Serpent Mound where we actually do 13 declarations of the new earth in a spontaneous ceremony there. So the reader can actually read the ceremony where we're calling in this new earth. And we were shown to trace the highest and best future back from the future to the present in this ceremony. So I think when I describe this, I hope the listeners are thinking about, well, what is my highest vision of what I most long for on the new earth? Maybe it's a place where children are completely safe, you know, where we don't have to slave away our lives making a living. We actually get to live and thrive in community. You know, what is your highest? So it's sort of a collective expression of what we most long for, and in connection and collaboration with Mother Earth herself and with creation. This is one of the most important things, I think, that motivated me to write the book. I realized that so often people feel helpless about all that's going on in the world, and they don't really know how to make a contribution, how to help. And I realized that, you know, if people could have the experience of oneness and and participation with this consciousness, you know, that was coming through nature and through creation, if they could have this experience of oneness, we would all be living differently on this earth, I think. And that experience in itself would shift how we live.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And as you're talking, I'm remembering a quote by the Dogon from West Africa. And they have a quote, I'll paraphrase it a bit, that says, you know, we have to remember the future so we can change the past. And as you were talking about tracing the highest and best future back to the present moment, that's you know, very familiar to me from that sense. And I think that's very empowering to embrace that way of being, because that then places us as a co-creator in what's to come. And it also introduces us to the notion that if I hold a future, an idea of the future, as soon as I lock that visualization into become a very much a guiding part of who I am, then a strange thing begins to happen, as my elder would say, and that is that we begin then to live into it. You know, we begin that process of living into it. Let me take one moment just to say that you're listening to Audrey Scott Williams on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. We are interviewing, or in the process of an interview, with author Victoria Hanson about her book, The Seer and the Sayer. And before we go any further, Vicki, could you say a word about how our listening audience can get a copy of your book, and if there's a website or Facebook page that you would like to refer them to?
Yes, it's quite easy to get my book on Amazon.com, and there are several reviews posted on there that you can look at. My website, you can also get my book through my website. There's a link there. And my website is called www.wholepersonwholeplanet, W-H-O-L-E, wholepersonwholeplanet.com. And it also documents a lot of the interesting other writings that I do that actually are part of the Seer and the Sayer story. For instance, the fact that the three rivers of Pittsburgh that converge and have a fourth underground river were actually confirmed by the Mayan elders to be connected with their ancient prophetic teachings of oneness and the promised time of return to unity. And we're living at a time when a modern-day city is connected to ancient prophecies of unity and oneness. How about that, you know?
I know. So I remember we were there on the 13 Moon Walk for Peace. We hosted us there in Pittsburgh, and we had an opportunity to do ceremony there, and we had a couple of very awe-inspiring moments there at that site, and the power of it was just so full. And I think it lifted us all up to just another whole level of consciousness, just being there together in ceremony at that moment. I'd like to thank you for that on behalf of the 13 Moon Walk for Peace.
That was an extraordinary connection that was really arrived through synchronicities. Do you remember that?
That's
all the
right.
synchronicities that went into connecting us together for that moment.
That's right. And then you sent us off there on, I think before we got there, you had to stop by Serpent Mound. And then we ended it, I guess if I were to set it up as a triune, it was Serpent Mound there in Petersburg with you and the Yum Tribe there and then the White Buffalo. And
yes.
I still remember that and still hold that there. It's like something that's so much a part of my medicine pouch as I go forward, the synchronicity and how everything aligns. And so I really want to thank you for that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And now we get to have this ongoing connection, such as we're having today, and, you know, being able to hear about and continue to support each other's work.
Absolutely. I have a question that I would like to have you respond to, because, you know, one of the things I find right now is that we're all each other's story, and we're all living
yeah.
out each other's story. So what impact do you as the writer hope to have with your book, and how is your story everyone's story?
Well, I really think that one of the reasons I really wanted to get my story out there is because of this idea that each and every one of us is carrying a puzzle piece to contribute to repair the broken web of life. And sometimes we need one another to discover what that puzzle piece is. Now, I've been contributing to the greater good in a lot of different ways in my life I consider part of the purpose for my being here. But I had no idea in my world that I was going to become a spokesperson for the Mayan elders and the messages of unity and oneness that the 2012 calendar was really supposed to be about, you know. And I had no idea that I was going to be connecting with the Serpent Mound in a way that shows the connection between that ancient sacred site and the Converging Rivers sacred site in Pittsburgh. I had no idea that I was going to be living this story that brought forth the messages of this interconnectedness and how we live into it in service. You know, I needed other people to help me discover my puzzle pieces, and I'm hoping that my story will show people that you too may be carrying surprising puzzle pieces to contribute to repair the broken web of life. And every single puzzle piece that each and every one of you are carrying is so urgently needed at this time, so you can be alert for that. And once we're alert for it, we begin the process of engaging this intelligent, unified field that leads us through synchronicities that help us link up and discover things far faster than we would without, you know, solo. So that's, you know, that's a huge piece. I just really know these puzzle pieces are really urgently needed right now.
Absolutely. And we have about a minute and a half, and I'd like to take the time that we have, I'd like to get your comment on how important is ritual and ceremony during this time?
You know, that's such a beautiful question. And for me, ritual and ceremony is a way to enter this unified field and receive direct guidance and revelation and all these wonderful ways of being in sync and in service. So I would say it's profoundly important.
Yes, and you're right. I mean, I think that sometimes we can mentally get what we're talking about, mentally try to communicate it. But when you go into ritual and ceremony of honoring the earth, honoring all of our relations, something happens in the midst of that where all of a sudden we have that experience, as you said earlier, of oneness. And
yes.
It's not a mental journey. You're engaged in the intention of the ceremony. And then all of a sudden, all the energies that come together create this mosaic, if you will, that all of a sudden there's a whole new, deeper way of seeing the world in which we live, not just being something exterior to us, but everything truly intersecting right there in our solar plexus. Vicki,
yes.
I want to thank you so much for being a part of our show. I know we have to have you back. For those of you who are listening, this is Victoria Hanshin. Please get her book, The Seer and the Sayer, and let it be the beginning of your journey. You've been listening to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio with your host, Audrey Scott Moon.
Thank you so much, Audrey, and thank you to all the listeners today.
Thank you, and we will continue this dialogue as we go forward. Have a great day.